The conference committee to order on House Bill 160, and I'll open the discussion. Does anybody want to be recognized for the purpose of discussion or an amendment? Senator Weibel.
Yeah, members of the conference committee, I'm pleased that we're here on this conference committee because there was some work done on this thing and some excellent work done by Representative Stoker on getting this thing moved forward. And you know, I think it's an important bill, and I think it changes and rights some actions that were done previously, and I think this is good legislation, and I'd sort of be curious to see from the House members which component of this is why they have rejected the amendments to this. But I'm supportive of the bill and supportive of whatever we come out of here with as a committee.
Representative Stoker.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question of the distinguished gentleman from the corner office on the first floor?
Without objection.
Mr. Pettish, would you give us a short course in legally managing trust funds that would be impacted by this reduction in interests on this bill as amended in the Senate?
Mr. Pettish.
Representative Stoker, Senator Wansenreed, I can attempt to. One of the principles of trust management is that the cost of administering the trust should be paid out of the trust being administered. And that's one of the reasons this bill is in front of you, is because the Morrell Act prohibits the diversion of any of the expenses for anything other than the purpose for which the land was granted. Therefore, the cost of administering the Morrell Act Trust can't be taken out of the interest and income from the Morrell lands. So when the other trusts picked up the cost of administering Morrell, those trusts were diminished, and the purpose of this bill is to pay back those trusts. Now, interest income on the money diverted, it would appear to me, would be necessary to make those other entities whole, particularly the entities that are the permanent funds. There is at least an argument with regard to distributable revenue, but it seems to me that for the permanent funds that lost interest because of the being charged for the administration of the Morrell Act lands, that those should certainly have the interest repaid.
Representative Stoker.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask an inquiry of the legislative audit person who's behind me?
Nope. Okay.
Without objection.
Cindy Jorgensen with the Legislative Audit Division.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Jorgensen, if the approximately 375,000 dollars in interest on the diversion of the Morrell Trust were not reinstated, would this continue to create an audit problem, negative reports for the future?
Representative Stoker, I believe that is the case. In our audit report, we recommended that they repay the amounts diverted plus associated interest, and we feel pretty strongly that in order to make the entities whole, you've got to pay that interest back. So there's a very good chance you would see that audit issue again.
Follow up.
Representative.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Jorgensen, There was talk that a concern was on primarily the common school ground. I see that has not been altered, but the other significant one that has been is the Morrell Trust. Is there any rationale from an auditing standpoint that you could contribute to why the common school was left intact and yet the Morrell Act interest was significantly reduced?
Representative Stoker, we were a little uncertain why there was a difference in the treatment of the Common School Trust Fund compared to the other trusts. And so I don't know that I have a very good answer for you. The only I will speculate for you, though, that when you repay the common school for the entire amount out of the general fund, what happens in the equalization payment process is your general fund share for the remainder of the equalization process will be less by that amount. It ends up being kind of a wash for the general fund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there further questions of Mr. Jorgensen? Mr. Jorgensen, I've got a question, and I'm relying on memory here, so help me out if I'm wrong. These diversions took place over roughly a 45-year period. Is that correct?
It depends on the diversion that you're talking about. The Morrell Trust diversion, 1967, is when that sounds right. Since 1967, so from 1967 through fiscal year 2002 was when the Morrell Trust diversions occurred. And then in 2003 through 2005, then the other trusts were charged for the Morrell costs. Now, there is another diversion issue that was in our audit report that is addressed through this House bill in terms of repayment, and that has to do with the maximum deposit amounts that are allowed. Let me get to the right page here. Under state law, and there were certain of the trusts that were limited in terms of the amounts that could be deposited into the trust administration account, and so the Common School Trust funds there were diverted to make that trust administration account whole.
Thank you. I've got a question of the Code Commissioner. Now that we have this issue before us, what sanction is there for us not taking action to eliminate the core cause of the audit exception?
I believe you could be sued, and you would get a judgment against you, and you would then pay interest on the judgment.
Okay. Senator Leibel, you had a question.
I guess for Ms. Jorgensen, just to refresh my memory, on the Morrell Trust, of that amount of the 3.7 of the total amount, including the interest, how much of that was for distributable trusts and how much was for permanent trusts? Or are those all distributable trusts?
Just on the Morrell Trust? Let me look at this dollar amount again. Of the total... The total $937,897, I think that you all have a spreadsheet in front of you, and it's that number can be found under the first column that says House Bill 160 is passed by the House. That of that dollar amount, $822,774, is distributable revenue that was diverted plus related interest earnings. And $115,123 is permanent revenue. So this is revenue that by law has to go back to the trust fund plus the related interest earnings.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Ripley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. members of the committee, I guess my real concern is just as the code commissioner indicated is the possibility of a lawsuit and the likeliness of losing that lawsuit. The Legislative Finance Committee during the interim had that very discussion, And that's why in the bill contains money plus interest. And then also in Section 2, the obligation settled was agreed upon that the interest would be paid. And that's why the bill is as it was when it went from the House to the Senate. And that's the real concern of mine is that if we don't follow through with our obligation, that we could be sued.
Senator Leibel.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question for Mr. Pettish. Some of the reasoning for reducing the interest, particularly when they were talking about the Common School Trust, was the fact that the money, and maybe this would be the same for the Morrell Trust as well, that this actually didn't affect the universities or the common schools, this diversion, because they still were funded through the legislative process. And so I guess my question to you is, since there wasn't on any of the legislation on the budget bills that we've had in the past, that a specific line item was to replace money for that particular entity, can you address that? Is that a good question? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I mean, this is sort of a ration. It's a rationalization of why the interest is not owed.
Mr. Pettish.
Senator Leibel, Senator Wansenreed, I think I understand your question, Senator Leibel, and I think what you're saying is that because the legislature appropriates general fund to those entities, the legislature would have reduced the general fund appropriation if this money had not been diverted. I believe that's an after-the-fact rationalization. I don't think you'll find anything in the record of the appropriation process that indicates that the level was set at any particular amount, taking into consideration the diversion of this other revenue. And unless you can point to that, I think that is exactly what it is, an after-the-fact rationalization.
Thank you. Representative Musgrove.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of things. When we held the hearing in the legislative audits on this particular issue, I asked for input from all the parties there, including the beneficiaries. Is my microphone on?
It may not be working. Try this one.
There. I just turned it on, I guess. The beneficiaries were represented by Kathy Swift, who is the legal counsel, I think, for the Board of Regents. And they very definitely believe that this will not be whole unless all the interest is paid, not just on the trust, but on the dispersible income as well. And so it's my position that we past legislatures and us have put us into this situation. It's not the natural resources people, and it's not the higher education people. It's the legislature, and we have to do it so that it makes, as the new section says, that our obligation is settled. That's the legislature's obligation. That's because we're the ones that did it. And we have to make it whole. This is a good time to do it.
Senator Hawks.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps Barb Smith could answer a question for me. Barb, I recognize, Mr. Chairman, Barb, I recognize that some of this falls outside of your purview, but we have this particular piece of the budget, which, you know, is rather a large amount of money compared to what we're trying to put together in these last 2 days of the session, hopefully. So the question is then, this particular piece of the financial statement falls outside the budget area. How is it dealt with in budgeting terms? Would we find it only in DNRC?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hawks, let me see if I can try to answer.
Yes, would you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. Barbara Smith, Legislative Fiscal Division.
Thank you.
Right now, 160 is a cat and dog bill, so if you want to look at it as a whole of what it does to the general fund balance, it's rolled into Terry Johnson's general fund balance sheet. Mm-hmm. If you want to look at what's been appropriated for DNRC in regards to managing the trust, as it stands, 820 contains state special revenue out of the trust administration accounts, the various accounts to fund the activities, and House Bill 19 includes the statutory appropriation to take care of your moral obligations with general fund. So that's where you would see it right now.
And so, and it did not come into our Joint Committee on Education either.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hawkside is correct. You would not have seen it in your Joint Education Committee.
So, thank you very much. So what we have here is, you know, something that falls outside of our normal sort of rationing process in appropriations to attempt to put together budgets. And, you know, my only concern is, as we're coming down to the line here, where we're going to find this much change to pay the interest. I agree with the legal arguments, and I don't have any question about that. And certainly my university would like to have the money. But I guess I'm wondering, when it comes down to the final sort of draw outside of our cap agreement, I wonder if the university is not going to somehow have to suffer the consequences for some of this to bring the budget into alignment. Those things are unknown at this point. I only raised the question.
Representative Musgrove?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The half that is totally principal was in the governor's budget in House Bill 3. And the interest then would be added to it. So it's not the total picture of that.
Is there further discussion? Senator Leibel.
Let me just make a couple of points here. And I understand where Senator Hawks is coming from, but, you know, I think as we all realize, this budgeting process is still in flux. It's still a moving target. There's so many components that still have left to come together. And we don't know where the governor is going to be on his. We don't know what the House is, in their infinite wisdom, what they're going to try to bring forward, and we have to pull it together with what the Senate has done. So putting that aside, I mean, it would be no different than if we had another fire bill that we had. I mean, it's a cost of what this state and what this government has to pay for. And so, you know, the interest, as I see my notes here, the interest makes the trust whole. The legislative audit will continue to red flag this if we don't pay it in full. We have the money, albeit we're not quite sure which pot it's going to be in. And this finishes the process. As the bill says, this means the obligation is settled. And I would move that we go back to the, if this is a proper motion at this time, Mr. Chairman, is remove the Senate amendments and go back to the original bill as it was drafted.
Well, I'll ask the legal counsel, is that the proper motion at this juncture, Mr. Pettish?
That motion is in order.
There's a motion before us to remove the Senate amendments that were added, and they're the ones that are attached on the front of the bill. Is there discussion on the motion? Representative Musgrove.
Yes. There is a slight variation in the way that the bill was sent to the Senate. It had an amendment that I had prepared by the Legislative Audit Division, which was some $490 different than what was the original bill. So if you want to go back to the original bill, that would be fine, or the bill as it was sent to the Senate would be probably a cleaner bill.
Well, the motion, as I understand it, would be to remove the Senate amendments to put it back in the form that it came to the Senate.
Okay.
That's the motion that's pending, and that's the one we'll discuss. Is there discussion on the motion? I just want to add something. That today, and I'll recognize that motion, but today on the floor there was a discussion about getting out of town and the fact that we're over the governor's budget by some $50 million, and it seems to me that at some point we have to make decisions about whether or not we're going to be serious about that, because any more we add means it's going to be addressed elsewhere. I'll just point that out. I'll recognize the motion on the question, and I will call for a roll call vote.
Senator Wantonreed?
No.
Senator Hawks?
No.
Senator Leibel?
Yes.
Representative Musgrove?
Yes.
Representative Ripley?
Yes.
Representative Stoker?
Yes.
Motion fails.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Leibel.
Realized that we could walk away from this and the bill would die and the liability will still stay there. And I think you make a really valid point that, you know, the budget, that we need to hold the line on the budget. But holding the line on the budget at the cost of not honoring what the trusts have said, nor honoring our liabilities as a state to the entities that are covered under these various trusts, I think is a mistake for us. And I guess, you know, we need to understand that the governor still has the ability to line item veto anything that in his, based on his, on the items that he thinks are important, is still up to him. We as a legislature can bring the information to him in the best form that we can agree on. That's our process. He has the ability to line item veto. But I'm hopeful that we can make our case that honoring our liabilities is in the best interest of this state and the best interest of these trusts that are so identified here. So I would ask us, Senator Wantonreed, Senator Hawks, to let's discuss this thing, because I don't want to open ourselves up to future liabilities when we could get this thing behind us and be done with it.
Senator Hawks.
Mr. Chairman, in response, I guess my understanding would be that this bill does not have time to go through the process to, if you will, in its final form before we leave town. And I guess the question I would ask of Mr. Pettish or have him confirm is that once we leave town, the governor either has the choice of vetoing this bill or passing it through. Can he line item veto this? And I suspect he might veto this bill. I worry about the bill passing as well. So the question is, can he line item veto once we leave town?
Mr. Pettish?
Yes.
Representative Stoker.
Mr. Chairman, may I question Representative Musgrove?
Mr. Representative Musgrove, will you yield?
I yield.
We had a conversation a couple of days ago on the floor, on the side. What is your estimation of the potential for a trust lawsuit if this does not pass?
It's better than even. I would say that somebody, perhaps a private citizen or a taxpayer, a student, a couple of retired teachers, could come forth with a lawsuit that would definitely be one. My concern at this point, though, in addition to that, is that the bill that we have before us in its present form has some misstatements in it now.
Representative Ripley.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with Representative Musgrove, of course. I voted like he did, and I understand why you voted no on the bill. I have real concerns where we're at with finances also, but I think we either need to pay our obligation in full or choose not to pay it, one or the other. The bill states that it's plus interest, and it states that our obligation is paid in full. So I would urge the two senators, with all due respect, to please keep the bill alive, reinstate the interest, and let it fall in the mix. And if it doesn't make it, it doesn't make it. But there's no better time than this session that we've ever had, that I know of, to pay our debt. And this can make it right. And so I would hope that we would reconsider and do pass, and if not, move on.
Oh, Senator Leibel.
And I think one of the other comments, when I was saying that the governor can line item, also we're still in the process of going to conference committees on all the budget bills. So, you know, in the mix is not just this $379,000 worth of interest. There's millions of dollars in there that are in the whole formula of what's taking place. And so in every one of those budget committees, they're looking at making adjustments on spending. And the governor, in his wisdom, based on his priorities, can line item anywhere within the budget. So not necessarily just this bill, but, I mean, and that is part of our process. So putting this in there just reaffirms the legislature's commitment to honoring our obligations to this, and then let the process go from there. Let the conference committees for the full budget work its the way it's supposed to, and let the governor's veto power work like it should.
Representative Musgrove.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I guess the bottom line is if the DNRC were a private financial institution, there would be some folks going to jail over the way that those trusts were handled, the way we forced them to handle the trusts. And this is just one of the small steps necessary to get them up to speed and whole and workable. And there's no better time to do it than now. I would ask that you reconsider.
Further discussion? Is there a motion, Senator Leibel?
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we reconsider our votes on the last motion that I made in regards to stripping this bill back to its original form as it came out of the Senate, and also as an aside to reaffirm what Representative Musgrove said. This was a legislative problem we caused. I think it's our responsibility to solve it.
I've got a question of the code or legal counsel. Do we need to reconsider or simply have, there's a new motion pending, the other motion failed, so there's simply be a restatement of the original motion, Mr. Benish?
I believe the result is the same.
Okay. Okay, there's a motion pending, the essence of which is to reconsider and to strip the amendments that the Senate added, essentially the same motion that we discussed earlier. Is there further discussion? Representative Stoker, are you going to be recognized? I will only add something that the dynamic here would appear to be the money that's in play right now, but in fact, we sat in this room 4 or 5 hours ago and had a discussion about House Bill 809 and school funding, and there's a new request that's emerging to add $80 million to play to fund schools and to provide tax reductions that isn't part of this calculus either. So we appear to be going in the wrong direction. And for those parties that have an interest in doing that, which appears to be coming from the House majority, we're going in the wrong direction here with this bill to match that up. And I think it's necessary because in order for us to look at this in the way that Senator Leibel is asking us to, we have a responsibility to act on the information that's in front of us, and that's part of the information, frankly, that is in front of us. If you choose to ignore it, that's fine. Senator Leibel.
Mr. Chairman, I understand your comments, but this is House Bill 160. This is not House Bill 809, and the process will work on 809 exactly the same as it will on 830 or 820 or any of those bills. And, of course, from my perspective, if you wanted to reduce the proposed amendment to 809 by $379,000. I could sure see your point on that.
I may not have any control over that. Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
That was a joke.
I know.
Senator Wanzenried?
No.
Senator Hawks?
Yes.
Senator Leibel?
Yes.
Representative Musgrove?
Yes.
Representative Ripley?
Yes.
Representative Stoker?
Yes.
Motion carries. I'll entertain a motion to adopt the conference committee report.
So moved.
Representative Stoker moves adoption of the report. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. No. Motion carries. And the conference committee report on House Bill 160 has been adopted to remove the Senate amendments, and we'll have a conference committee report, I presume, tomorrow on the board. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Pardon? Oh, okay. Thank you. I won't. I didn't make that commitment. The committee on House Bill, free conference committee on House Bill 160 is adjourned. Thank you very much for attending. The conference committee on House Bill 160 is adjourned. Thank you very much for attending.